A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, who is this betrayer? This Judas, who dares initiate the selling of Jesus for a mere 30 pieces of silver? Who dares share table fellowship with the Lord? Who dares emulate his fellow disciples with the response, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi"? Brothers and sisters, any answer to these queries is probably speculation. And indeed, scholars have speculated. Some say the story is much too bizarre. So Judas is conceived not as a real historical figure, but as a personification of the Jews, a personification that makes Jews Jesus killers rather than dealing with the Roman crucifiers. This, in the early church, is considered to be the beginning of anti-Semitism. Others say the price is much too cheap. Judas surely wouldn't sell Jesus for that price, and therefore Judas must have conspired with Jesus. Judas must be a willing catalyst. Judas is used to help crucify Jesus so that he would complete his salvation plan. Surely a crazy idea, considering the eventual suicide of Judas. Still others say that Judas was too different. All of the apostles were Galileans except for Judas, who was from Judah. And thus they say that as an outsider, Judas was never accepted in friendship by the other apostles, and this created a feeling that led to the betrayal of Jesus. Lastly, some scholars say that Judas was far too radical, a real radical, a zealot, a Jew who wants to overthrow the Roman Empire. And when Judas discovers that Jesus will not lead a revolt against the Romans, he becomes angry at Jesus and eventually betrays him. To my mind, this is the most reasonable theory. But in reality, we will never know for sure the whole story. What we do know, my friends, is that sin is as mysterious as grace. Just as we do not understand great sainthood, saints such as St. Martin de Porres, or perhaps Mother Teresa, we similarly do not understand great sinhood, a Judas, an Adolf Hitler. Perhaps we can learn something from today's first reading from Isaiah. Here we talk about the famous suffering servant. The suffering servant accepts his divine vocation despite beatings and insults. He cannot be put to shame, for the suffering servant rejoices in the Lord. The great sin, my friends, is not following the suffering servant, not following God's servant. Hence, the mystery of sin for both Judas and ourselves is simple. It is turning our back on Jesus.